God bless all those who approach the throne of grace with the right sacrifice to lay at the altar of worship, which is the name and blood of Jesus, which was shed for us. God bless you one and all, and as ever, my thanks goes out to Brother Andrew Peary and Brother Jesse and Zima for this time of sharing the gospel and reaching out to those brethren out of the Gentile nations who are yet citizens of spiritual Zion and who practice the faith that was once delivered to the saints of that first generation of the Christian church. We do have our questions and our searchings along the way, but they're faithful questions born out of the desire to seek and then find answers in Jesus' name. As there are matters that were asked of Jesus in the New Testament that weren't necessarily part of the seek and ye shall find commandment, such as were given in the statement of what is truth in Pilate's judgment hall. Truth is something that was established long before the Genesis 1-1 creation, and we're formed out of it. Truth was in a person, made manifest in a body of flesh, the word of St. John chapter 1, verse 14, that came to dwell among us. So, in our speaking for this devotional, where could I go? Be part four of that thought, as I always like to get back to our source, back to the origin of our being and the miracle of life when it comes to any subject matter. It just does something for the soul when we understand why we're here and what and how we came to life and realize our place in the great matters that are set before us. As God put his breath into Adam and the man became a living soul. As it's so amazing what's written in Scripture. Let there be light, that's the most extraordinary of statements, as well as being the first of the recorded statements of the Almighty God. And that light, it proclaimed life, and that is amazing. There's no known process in science that can turn the energy of creation into beings that have conscious thought, as we do. There's no known process that turns light into life of conscious awareness. So certainly light sustains life. But for knowledge of the highest order, you need a Bible. It's God's way to reach us all on a very personal and elemental level. And where else could we go? Where else could we go for answers? Where else could we go for answers of faith? God's manner and way of applying his wisdom to our lives is beyond the thought processes of human wisdom, as he reveals his secrets to his servants, the apostles and prophets, in a way that does not rely upon the intellect or will of humankind, in order that our sufficiency will be of him and not of we ourselves alone. So then the Lord's chosen a way that seems like foolishness to some, but to us it's all the power and the glory of the Almighty God. So what other way is there to go except for that which is written and inspired by Jehovah God El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty? As there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one truth, so also can there only be one original source from where the healing waters flow. So I pray that these words of faith, although simple in form, will serve as encouragement in mind, body, soul, and spirit as we continue on the upward way, as God inhabits the praises of his people. And all the promises of God are yea and amen unto his glory, which of course benefits us all together as a body of faith that works by love. So in our subject proper, where could I go? What can I do but turn to the way that's been from ever, long before I was born, in the time when time was not even in existence itself, when there was only the thoughts of God's companion wisdom, when there was only the Lord dwelling in the house of seven pillars of Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1, God's vision of the finished work as the Lord counted the cost of all that he was about to build and then brought it forth. He would pay the price of becoming our sacrifice at Calvary. And Jesus would fight through the terrible suffering and disappointment of betrayal to win through to a victory by the power of the third day by way of a resurrection. So in Romans chapter 8, as we look to the words that were inspired from above, Romans chapter 8, in times of trouble, when our temporary plans go astray, we turn to the Scriptures. We turn to the Lord. As Jesus himself, in the midst of his agony, cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In the quoting of David of Psalms 22, or was it more the other way around, that David was quoting Christ upon the cross by foresight of prophetic vision? Well, that's quite a thought, and the Lord knows the answer to those things. And however that stands, Jesus had to get through it all, and so must we. And if he suffered, well, then we're like him in that respect. But of course, we are never above him. And of that suffering, Romans 8 and verse 18 delivers to us, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And then verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." That which we long for the most, we have to be patient for until it's manifest by the resurrection of our mortal frame. And the word is our greatest consolation until that time. Such peace comes to us when we see the purpose of God spoken to in this way. As short-term disappointments, they're a feature of every life, but it all serves to the result of patience. As patience is an eternal virtue of Galatians chapter 5, the fruits of the Spirit. And without tribulation and affliction, how would we ever learn patience? It's only for a moment of our years that we have to patiently endure. Then we fly away. So thanksgiving and assurance are put into these sayings, for our faith is a practice of gratefulness through the smoke and the noise and the confusion of battle. When garments are rolled in blood, as Isaiah 9:5 says. And all those things, of course, lead to the birth of a Savior in Isaiah 9:6, whose name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. That's who Jesus was foretold to be, and that is who he is, as the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. So thus Paul, the Apostle, who penned these words, he got turned around from the person that he was before as Saul of Tarsus, who was as stubborn as his namesake, which was the Saul of the tribe of Benjamin, first king over Israel, after the period of the judge deliverers of the book of Judges. Saul of Tarsus was named. He was part of the tribe of Benjamin, and Saul, the first king of Israel, was the most famous name out of the tribe of Benjamin. So Paul proclaims here what he will also write in Romans 8:28. That it all works together for good in the blessed end for those who love the Lord and hear the calling of his voice that speaks from on high. So count it all joy when you suffer in this world. It's not worthy to be compared. And without question, that makes some demands on us. It's hard to do in the terms of right now when suffering seems to be on every side. But patience will have its perfect work in the Lord. Jesus got the greatest victory by fighting the hardest battle. So we are like him, but never above him. And the apostle of Paul here, he's making a break too from the way his former confession was as a Pharisee. As God is always the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even as the master maintained in Mark 12:26. But now in these surrounding verses, in verse 15, refers to Abba, Father. And in verse 17 of Romans chapter 8, the identification is with Christ, because it says we're joint heirs with Christ, which is quite a break from tradition, which the Pharisees were holding on to tightly in the face of the growth of this new movement, the Christian church. They didn't want to go one bit past Moses, but the time and day of the Messiah, it was here right now. Some generations are called upon to see what God is doing in the right here and the right now, rather than just what he did 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. God is a right now God, even as he was and now is and is to come. That being so, and eternally so, if then we're partakers of the sufferings of this world and a partaker of Christ's sufferings, then we also have a position in Christ to be a partaker of the consolation as well, as 2 Corinthians chapter 3 delivers. And God is faithful, who's given us of his comforting spirit, for God cannot be less than what he is. And he is the omnipresent spirit of truth. So Paul writes from his own standpoint of the receiving of mercy and grace, because who would have reason to be more grateful? For he was once the chief persecutor of those who held up the testimony of Jesus, as perhaps the most earnest plea put into the question form ever is spoken to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, in "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And of course, as you look over the account, Paul's conscience had been bothering him, but his zeal for the law of Moses had been his blindness. Yet God could get him turned around and use him for the gospel task at hand to do his will. So if anybody out there has been an opponent of the gospel, well, so was the chief apostle of the Ephesus church in Paul. Before their conversions, every member of the New Testament church, the day before they got converted, they were pagans. But the next day they found faith in Jesus' name, confessed it so, and they became part of the first and second generation church. So all things are gone now, and all things are made new in Christ. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Turn our attention to Hebrews chapter 4. This will be from verse 14 on down. As trials and tribulations and sorrows and sufferings of loss, they will come for Christians. But there is a comfort that follows after those things in Christ. The world offers little, but our hope in the Lord, it never fails. Even if one suffers the way that Job did, there was a restoration, there was consolation afterwards. And even then, it wasn't worthy to be compared to the glory to follow. And that becomes a lesson to us for the sake of endurance. And that Christ overcame the world, the flesh, and the devil, it's evident from his arisal on the third day. So when no one else understands our plight, where else could you go but to the Lord? Where else could you go but to the Scriptures? In Hebrews chapter 4, and verse 14 delivers, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points, was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And then the encouragement, verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." As all things being under the Lord's guiding hand, all matters being seen and open to his vision, this is the nature of the Almighty God. And it's awesome, it's wonderful, the scriptural statement is. It's beautiful for its power. It's incredible for its majesty, just like it is in Psalms 29:4 that tells that the voice of the Lord is upon many waters. What can just the sound of the Lord's voice and the seeing of his power do? What can just the beholding of his majesty, what would that do for a person? Were they to see the Lord high and lifted up, just like in the vision of Isaiah chapter 6, as it was in that time, which so humbled that prophet? The one Lord has many offices of Spirit-filled administration. Being our great high priest, that's one of them. There were many high priests after the order of Moses and Aaron and the tribe of Levi in the Old Testament era. But none are called great except this one. Christ then, who was part of humanity as we are, becomes our lawyer advocate, our intercessor, our great high priest, one who speaks on behalf of us. When we need somebody to stand for us and to speak holiness for our sake, for we have no holiness of our own making, where else could we go but to the Lord? Christ is the Word made flesh to dwell among us. He shows himself to cover all aspects of divine service to others. A priest of a different order than that of Levi, the tribe of Levi, and of Moses and of Aaron. His priesthood is superior, who is with us and for us, after the order of Melchizedek. This shows understanding of the highest type, that the Almighty God, the Transcendent One, would comprehend our need to be understood on a human level, so he became as one of us, which is the marvel of Scripture. There's nothing else like it in all the annals of religion. The name of Jesus, it provides a bridge to understanding and a way to link divinity with humanity. In feeling all that we do and in all points tempted like as we are, Christ endured for the sake of love. So must we, like as he did. Though our position is like unto his, we're never above him. So keep your confidence in the Word alive, by the Word applied. Glory be to the Lord on high.